Last Sunday, we were reminded of our need to be patient and persistent in our prayer, never to give up before the Lord. We were given the example of Moses, whose hands were held aloft in prayer and intercession for the people of Israel so that they could win the battle. And we heard of the woman who wanted her justice. She wanted to ask the unjust judge to give her what was her due, and she continually came to him asking for that rendering. We need to persevere in our prayer, which means God is not like a vending machine where you say your prayer and push your button and out it comes. Prayer is our relationship with the Father through Christ in the unity of the Holy Spirit. We say at prayer that whatever is particular for us, what we needs are, we bring that to the Lord in trust. But sometimes God will say, that's a good prayer, but this is not the right time for it. It will come later. Or maybe realizing, since he sees the whole picture of our lives, he has something even better than we ever expected or hoped for. So we place our trust in him. In our gospel today, Jesus presents us with two figures in prayer. We were taught how to pray last week. Now we're going to be shown the best way to pray. We have the Pharisees and the tax collector. The Pharisee is the religious leader who knows the law and the commandments. Prayer is his life. And the tax collector is a Jewish man who works for the foreign occupying government of Rome, who didn't mind tacking on a little extra on one's taxes so that it could line his own pockets. Not a favorite person among the Jewish people. And look what Jesus does for us. He makes us look differently at both. We would believe that since the Pharisee is a religious leader, well, God's going to listen to him. His prayer is the best prayer. The traitor, God won't have any time for. But that's just the opposite of what Jesus shows to us in the gospel. Why would he do that for us? It is the Pharisee that takes on the role of being arrogant, proud. He prays to himself about all the good things he does. Listen to me, God. Look at all I'm doing. Look at how great I am. He's the finished product. And the tax collector realizes in himself that he is truly a sinner and could just beg for God's mercy in his life. Our attitude towards God and Jesus, the teachings of the church, the scriptures, the sacraments, all have a play on our relationship with God and Christ and with one another. When someone says, I don't need the church, I can pray on my own. Well, but the scriptures tell us that the church is the divinely instituted bride of Christ. How can we say to Christ, I don't need what you gave me, when he gave that to us for our means of our salvation? Back in the 1800s, during the Enlightenment period, there arose the thought that we can take care of ourselves. We can take care of it through medicine or science or industry. We don't need God anymore. We don't need his words or anything to guide us. We use our own words. We'll use our own ideas. And look where it's got us. Not that science or medicine or industry are bad, but when we take it out of context of God's presence, it can be a horrible situation. And I think we're in that now. How often we will say, I will decide when life begins and when life ends. Abortion, euthanasia. I will decide who gets married. I will decide what gender I will be. I will decide what is good or right, what is wrong or best, wrong or just. Without any context of what God has given to us, what he's directing us to be, seeing that all of us are his special children who he loves deeply, but never wants to leave us just where we are, but to continually lead us to where we need to be. And he's the one who can see that picture very plainly. It's shadows for us sometimes, but our faith and trust and humility in God leads us to where we need to be. That's what this tax collector's prayer was about, is that he recognizes who he is and he's lacking. lacking greatly. And Lord, help me. I need your help. The Pharisees, he's done. He's got it all, so no bother. The wrong attitude to have. It is in humility and faith that we turn to the Lord, who is directing our lives and leading us to where we need to be. St. Paul gives us an example of running the race. He compares his life to running a race. And as we listen to the life of St. Paul in the scriptures, his life was far from perfect. He murdered our brothers and sisters in the early days of the church. He faced persecution, beatings, shipwrecks, every kind of thing that you can imagine. And he remained faithful because he was running that race, keeping God and Christ in heaven as his final goal. No one would ever wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to run a marathon today. It could not happen. You take time. You learn about how to do this. You train your body and your mind for the race, to put up with the cramps in your legs or the pain in your side, or you wonder, can I take one more step? But you know the goal. You know where it is to end. You have a purpose, and that drives you to that purpose. Same way with our faith in Christ Jesus, in our life of prayer. Christ is our goal. Heaven is our goal. Everything in our life should be directed and motivated for that end. And to root out those things that are not of Christ and put on Christ more and more each day. And to ask for that help and that grace that we need to fight temptations, to look beyond the distractions of society and our culture, to see the truth that Christ has left us in the scriptures and the church, to be our motivation. And then day by day, step by step, amid the pains and the struggles of life, we will achieve our victory because of Christ and take our place across the finish line in heaven. This month, the Archdiocesan Mission Office is honoring parish members who are answering God's call to go forth and proclaim the good news. Today, we as a guardian angel family are blessed to present this certificate to Anne and Dave Jones and to their family. Anne and Dave, who organize and welcome parishioners to embrace the love and hope of compassion of Jesus Christ by the gifts of their time, talent, and treasure, and creativity to serve the poor, along with the whole team of Guardian Angels volunteers in Frenchburg, Kentucky. We thank them for being Christ to our less fortunate brothers and sisters, and it is with great gratitude and indeed a great honor to present the certificate to the Jones family. Congratulations.